Thank you, Karen, and thank you, Melanie. If you'll open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 1. Got my table hiding way back over here. You know the reason I got this table is so I could do just this right here. One hand. Got to have the other hand on the Bible. So open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. If you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, this is a passage that's familiar to you, but it's one that we can learn from afresh every time we open God's Word, because God's Holy Spirit is among us and because God's Word is living and active in and of itself. So we come to God's Word and we say, okay, Father, help us not to read past something you want us to hear today. Help us to hear with new ears and with an open heart truth for us today. And this morning in our series, Christmas Unwrapped, we have our third un, and that's unexpected. A little similar to what we considered last week with unscripted, but slightly different. As we consider how we react and what we can learn from Mary's reaction with an unexpected announcement or an unexpected reality in our lives. Let's consider our scripture memory verse for the month here. And that verse, we'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference again. And remember, it's just in order. They've got to believe in order to call. And in order to believe, they have to hear. And in order to hear, they have to have a preacher. In order to preach, they have to send them. And what a better time of the year other than when we focus on our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions to have this scripture that reminds us why we send and why we give and why we pray. Let's say that together. Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. Thank you so much for your reading. Unexpected things. The word unexpected, I don't think, really needs definition. I mean, it's something that's surprising. It's maybe accidental. Certainly could be startling. You could throw in a couple other unwords there, right? Unanticipated or unpredicted, unforeseen. You know, these are things that we do not plan on. Like, you know, when you put on a coat for the first time since last year and you go, wow, there's $20 in there. I mean, that's a, forgot that I had that. It's like paying myself a bonus. Maybe it's like someone you love surprising you with, you know, showing up at your work to drop you off a gift or take you out to lunch. You weren't expecting that. That's a good sort of unexpected. Maybe it's, you know, your teenage child who's been a little rebellious when you tell them to do something and they don't complain. That's unexpected. You're supposed to laugh right there. You missed that one. They do what they're told. Maybe it's, you know, and I don't know if you've all seen the video, but if you haven't, you know, go to YouTube and check out WestJet Christmas Surprise. West, like the direction jet. Maybe it's, you know, standing before a video screen Santa at a kiosk in an airport in one city and arriving at the other city only to find what you told the Santa at that city waiting for you at the baggage turnstile. Unexpected. There are unexpected things throughout our lives. Unexpected is knowing something's wrong with your health, going to the doctor and getting a test, and hearing something quite unlike you ever imagined. Depending on the type of unexpected event, we'll react differently to it. And then I think also, as that event unfolds, and as we process it differently, and as we receive new information, our reaction changes as well. And that's exactly what we see happen with Mary this morning. And so if you've got your Bible with you, and even if you don't, if you're able to stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word, let's stand together. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38 will be our key text this morning. In the sixth month, that's of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked. "The angel, since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said, answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Father, keep us from reading this morning like we already know it. Keep us from going through the motions of, that's what Mary said, as if this is some sort of script and she's plastic and this is fake. But God, we pray that you help us by your Spirit with our own hearts, experiences, life, and emotion to process this as Mary would have and to learn lessons from her. Not that she was perfect and some sort of iconic hero of faith for us, but she was a real person with real fears and real questions, but also real faith. So, Father, help us today as you speak to us in dealing with the unexpected events in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's follow Mary through this morning. Your first point on your outline, the unexpected number one, is an angel appearance. Most of us don't expect angels to show up in our lives. And as I said last week, I've been confused as an angel just once in my life. You may have been as well, confused for an angel. Or maybe there's been people or instances in your life when you thought, was that an angel? And it very well could have been. I don't believe that God limits his miracles to the New Testament time, because God's God and he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And even today, God can still perform miracles. And that includes a supernatural being such as an angel coming into our natural life and doing God's bidding, just like we read in the Bible. And an angelic appearance, the normal reaction is, and that's that next slide, is, "Help me." I mean, if an angel shows up, most of us are not going to be going, "Oh, hey, Mr. Angel, nice to meet you. How long does it take to get here from heaven? You know, did you have to transfer in Chicago? I mean, explain that to me, Mr. Angel." Most of us aren't going to have those sort of questions for an angel. Our first question might be like, "Is somebody pranking me? Am I on candid camera?" I mean, our second question might be like, "Are you real? Is this a trick? Is Ryan Cole doing some fancy video thing to project something? This is a holographic image. I mean, we're going to want to touch him." And, you know, it depends on who you are and what the angel looks like. But if an angel shows up, most of us, when we realize it's an angel, or even if we don't even say it, are going to have the, "Help me," kind of reaction within us. Look at Mary. What does it say of Mary? Verse 29, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." What kind of greeting this might be? "You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." We'll come back and talk about that in a moment. But Mary was greatly troubled, and her reaction was fear. That's your next blank. I mean, all of us, once we realize we're dealing with somebody from another realm, once we realize we're dealing with somebody that has supernatural power from God Himself, we are going to react in fear. I don't care who you are and how tough you think you are. If an angel shows up and you realize it's an angel, you're going to have fear. Look at the Bible. Every time an angel shows up, the angel's first words are, "Fear not." Why? Because the people were in fear. So Mary's not unlike anybody else. She's a teenager, yes, a young lady from a small town, yes. We don't know too much about her experience. We gather some along the way in this story even today. But she is like us, that no matter her age, when the angel shows up, she's going to react with some fear. So the question for you and I, when we encounter something in our life that causes fear to arise, how do we handle it? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God's not given us a spirit of fear. I want to say, wait a second, I do have a spirit of fear. Time out. That scripture doesn't seem to compute. I have a spirit of fear, but the Bible says God's not given me a spirit of fear. Well, it's talking about when I've trusted Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes into me and fills me. And so what I see is my flesh with the old spirit of fear at war with God's spirit within me that wants me to have faith. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound judgment. And it's that battle of fear versus faith. Our boys and girls talked about it this summer at children's camp. We talked about, and boys and girls, come on, help me, do your best to remember, that fear is what? Crickets. Okay, fear is natural and faith is supernatural. Okay, so I said it once, so now everybody fill in the blank for me. Fear is? And faith is? So in my flesh, when something confronts me that is scary, I am going to be afraid, right? Fear is? But because I have the Holy Spirit in me, because I know what God's Word says, because I know that the God of the whole universe has a plan for my life, when something comes upon me that is scary, I can react with faith because faith is? Okay, you need to say that one with a little more gusto. Faith is? There you go. So how does fear control me is the question, however. What do I do about it? Does fear hinder or limit me? Think about the things that you fear, the kind of things you expect a preacher to bring up on a Sunday morning, like, oh, I'd never talk to my neighbor about Christ. I'm afraid that they'd think I was weird or something. Or, you know, oh, no, I can't give a tithe of 10% because then how am I going to pay my bills? Do you trust God or do you trust your pocketbook? Oh, I can never serve as an Awana worker because the kids might know more than me. No, they don't. And all you have to do is love them and go along and you're going to learn as well. Oh, I can never go on a mission trip because, you know, I might catch some disease or somebody might ask me a question I can't answer or something like that. But what about all the regular things in life that we're afraid of? God, I don't want to stand up and ask that question, even though it's a question for me, because I don't want everybody to think I'm dumb. God, I know I should do the right thing at work, but I'm afraid if I do the right thing, all my coworkers will say bad things about me. All of us have fears. God, I've got this much money, and I just got an unexpected bill for this much. How am I going to pay this? Where's the money going to come from? God, the doctor's office just called, and I don't know what this means, but that's a scary word that he just told me. How does fear control me? If we're not careful, we can live a life dictated by fear. I wouldn't have said what I just said if I didn't believe it. Fear can keep us from doing. Fear can keep us from being what God intends. We allow fear to control us. Romans 8:15 says that we didn't receive a spirit that made us a slave to fear. We receive a spirit of sonship. We receive, if you read Romans chapter 8, that no matter what faces us, we can know that God loves us and God is for us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, that God is with us. Joshua 1:9 encourages, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Seth Godin says, it's not that we're unable to handle complicated problems, it's that we're afraid to. We face a problem, we face an issue, we don't know the answer, we don't know the source, we don't know what we're going to do, and we stop in fear. Nancy Grisham said, God wants our fraidy blanks filled with faith. God wants our fraidy blanks, like fraidy cat, blanks filled with faith. Well, let's see what Mary does. Because look at what the angel said to her. Go back. Verse 28. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So unexpected number two for Mary. We come back to Mary's life. Unexpected number two is high praise. It's one thing for an angel to show up to you. Hey, it's an angel. Okay, I'm afraid. The angel says, fear not. He's got something to tell me. It's another thing for the angel not just to say, hey, Sandy, I've got a job for you to do. But Sandy, you are highly favored. Sandy's going, oh, wow. Or maybe Sandy's going, me? Why am I highly favored? What did I do? Depends on you and how you take a compliment. Depends on who's giving the compliment sometimes. Most of us, when somebody gives us a compliment, we don't expect, kind of because we've lived long enough, we're going, hey, what's their angle here? What are they up to? Or don't we? We're suspicious that we think they're being nice to me and they're not normally nice to me. What are they trying to get out of me? They're trying to snow me, you know, like when somebody's overly familiar with you. When you go to buy a new car and the car salesman you've never met before acts like he's your best friend, he's known you forever, and you're like, you give me the creeps, dude. I just want to look at a car. When we get high praise from somebody we don't know and somebody we don't expect, we're going to kind of react with like, well, let's look at our normal reaction. Normal reaction is who? Me? I mean, it's not me. Why would you be praising me? What does a godly woman look like anyhow? I mean, this is what it says here. You who are highly favored. Mary's probably thinking it through. I mean, Mary was an ordinary lady and a young lady at that. There was nothing that we know particularly unusual or exceptional about Mary. If anything, she was common. Mary's significance is not based on the things of this world, however, that are natural. Mary's significance are based on the things that are of not of this world, that are supernatural. It's the things that people could not necessarily see. And part of that was exampled in Mary's purity. Mary was pure. I mean, she was ordinary, but she was pure. Even today, we know that 30% of brides at the altar are pregnant when they're there. Heaven knows how many more of them have already had encounters outside of marriage. And I think the minority would be those that are like Mary, that were a virgin. And she grew up not unlike any other teen, with temptations and all those sort of things, but she had her purity. You know, we live in a world that flaunts perversion and scoffs at purity. And I pray that you can stand with me and say, that perversion is just what it is. It's perversion. And there is a place for modesty. And there is a place for purity. And it's in my life. Because God loves me. And so I'm going to be God's child. And I'm going to follow God's rules. And I'm going to keep myself pure, realizing that God has a plan for that that's better than any of the perversion that the world puts out there. And Mary was that sort of person. She was ordinary, but she was pure. And then it says that phrase, you who are highly favored. The translation of that is, you who are graciously accepted. Now, that makes it a little easier for me to understand, because highly favored, I'm kind of suspicious. But you who are graciously accepted adds a different dimension of it for me, because why? Graciously accepted means it's not anything that Mary did. It's not anything that Mary was, although she was pure. It's what God did. God gave her grace, and God accepted her for who she was. And that's the same thing in you and I. Anything good that we have, as we are, and what we do is from God, and it's His grace in us. Nancy Lee DeMoss says, "The moment we cease to see ourselves as undeserving instruments, chances are we will cease to be useful in the hand of God." Cease to be useful in the hand of God. We have to realize that all the good in us, all our talents, all our abilities are from God, and it's by His grace. But with this greeting, what was Mary's reaction? Let's look at that next slide there. Mary's reaction, well, there's not any reaction recorded, but it had to be anxiety. Anxiety is a distress or an uneasiness caused by fear of danger or misfortune. We already got the fact that she had fear. An angel shows up. He says, "Fear not." It's apprehension. There can be tension in there when you don't understand things. These are feelings of stress. And, they can lead to depression over a long time. And they can come from doubt and guilt. And all these things are kind of layered up together. And, yeah, so here's this split-second sort of thing where an angel shows up. He greets her, says she's highly favored. She says, "Hey, what about me?" And all these things are flooding in on her at a moment. She hasn't even had time to process this. Now, some of us, however, live with anxiety. And I just want to, from a clinical side, to point you to the warning signs of anxiety and say to you, maybe you need to get some help. Yes, you need to pray. Yes, you need to read your Bible. Yes, you need to journal. Yes, you need to talk to a Christian brother or sister about your anxiety, but it may need to be that you need to talk to your medical practitioner as well. It may need that you need some counseling or even some medicine to help you deal with your anxiety if it's that point. Sleeplessness is a sign of anxiety. You have trouble falling asleep, staying asleep. Your brain can't stop. You're always thinking about stuff. A short temper is another sign of anxiety. That people driving you crazy. You can't stand it. And you can't even get at the reason you're mad. You just know that you are. Personal chaos. Your house is upside down. Things are not normal. And you just can't seem to keep it under control. A scatterbrain where you can't focus your thoughts normally when things are going well. You've got it all together, but not this. And it's a sign of anxiety. Missing deadlines at work or forgetting about things that you normally are on top of. All these things are signs of anxiety, and you may need some help. Mary had a split second of anxiety. What I'm talking about is you have a lifestyle or habitual anxiety that you're dealing with on a daily basis, weekly, monthly. And it all comes from things that cause us fear or worry. Tony Evans says, "The level of your worry reflects the size of your faith." You have to ponder that quote for a little while to understand what he means. The level of your worry reflects the size of your faith. Which one is greater? How are they at war? R. Kent Hughes says that disbelief is the midwife of worry. Disbelief is the midwife of worry. That as we're separated from God, we're not as close to Him as we should be or as we have been, and we're not believing in Him to be who He says He is in our lives and the lives of others, that's when we're going to be more prone to worry and anxiety. So, don't hear me wrong. Worry or anxiety is not just sin. You can be righteous and still have worry and anxiety. But certainly, if you're unrighteous, you're going to be more prone to worry and anxiety because you're separated from the God that created you and the power that He wants to give you to make decisions that will honor Him in your life. Mary had this anxiety. Your question is, what do I tend to worry about? What do you tend to worry about? You probably don't even need to write it down because you probably know. You've got things that you were worrying about last night. You got things that you woke up worrying about this morning. You got things that you're praying about already today. What are you worrying about? Well, Mary all of a sudden has something to worry about. An angel shows up. An angel calls her highly favored, graciously accepted. Says the Lord is with you. It says that she was greatly troubled at His words. But then look at verse 30, what the angel says next. Do not be afraid. Okay, we got that part. Mary, you have found favor with God. All right, pretty cool. Not exactly sure why. I'm an ordinary gal. But then the next part, you've got to be kidding me, verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. I'm sure Mary is going, time out, time out. She says it here in a moment where she says, how can this be? But in her mind, she's already thinking it from the moment the angel says it. So it's one thing, as we talked about last week, to hear you're going to be divinely. It's another thing to hear who it's going to be. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of her father David. That's the Messiah. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. The angel saying, and this is unexpected number three, the angel says, it's a boy! I mean, he didn't say it quite like that, but I thought that would be fun, and thanks for the laugh. I mean, you know, an angel shows up to you and says, it's a boy, you're going, great, didn't know I was pregnant. How did that happen? If the angel said that to me, I would certainly freak out. Woo, that would be miraculous conception for sure, wouldn't it? It's a boy. And your normal reaction, if an angel shows up to you and says, it's a boy, is not me. I mean, that was Mary's reaction. I hadn't gone down that road before. You know, I've kept myself pure. That dog ain't gonna hunt, as they would say down south. It's not me. But look, look. Mary, however, asked the question, how can it be? That's your next slide. How can it be? It was a question. And what I want to show you from the life of Mary, what I learned from the life of Mary, is that there's nothing wrong with asking a question. There's nothing wrong with asking lots of questions. There's nothing wrong with having a little doubt, because doubt is natural. But if you allow your doubt to paralyze you, to keep you from following God in faith, that's when it's sin. To have an honest question is not wrong. Mary had an honest question. What was her honest question? How can it be? I mean, I've never been with a man. How can it be? Something might happen in your life that's unexpected, and you're going to say, how can it be? You know, the doctor calls and says it's cancer. You're going to say, well, how can it be? Well, this kind of cancer just happens, you know, and we don't know. Or maybe they do have some reason. Not that that helps. But, you know, the why, the what, the how, all those kind of questions. Nothing is wrong with your questions. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, as I've said time and again from this pulpit, that God is big enough for your questions. Don't be afraid to ask God your questions. Do be afraid to stay in fear and not move in faith when He gives you the answer or a calling that's clear in your life. But do not be afraid to ask the question and to struggle with what God is saying to you. There's nothing wrong with a question. Matter of fact, when I believe if in that question you are wrestling with God, you are more righteous than unrighteous. And even if you feel like you take a step back in your faith because you don't see how God can do it, if ultimately you're still struggling with the answer, that's a righteous thing to do. That's a good thing to do. And God will honor your struggle. Your struggle will make you stronger, because as you question, you're going to learn more things than if you hadn't have questioned. It's like when you're training for an athletic event. You know, you lift weights in order to get stronger. You wear yourself out so the next time you come back, you can wear yourself out a little later and a little later and a little lighter. And you can lift a little more and you can go a little further and you can go a little faster. The same thing with the struggles of our faith. Then when we exercise our divine muscles of faith, our spiritual muscles of faith, that those questions that we wrestle with and struggle with make us stronger. And that glorifies God. So my question for you is, how do I handle surprises? How do I handle surprises? That's the next question there. I mean, this was obviously quite surprising to Mary. It's a boy! It's the Messiah! Ta-da! Well, how do you handle surprises? Good or bad? I'm not the best at handling surprises. My wife can tell you that. You know, I'm just not. Maybe you're better at it. You're more gracious. You're more smooth, you know. Maybe you're more welcoming of things. I don't know. But how do you handle surprises in your life? Is it when you are a little more prepared, or when you have a little more faith, or when it doesn't seem quite so unbelievable that it's easier for you? I don't know what it's like for you. John Ortberg said, having faith does not mean never having doubts or questions. It does mean remaining obedient. So when you have a question, I think that's the test. You're struggling with the question. You're asking other questions. You're in that battle of doubt and faith and how's this going to work? But do you have at the bottom of it a conviction that no matter what, you are going to be obedient? And you're going to exercise faith whether all your questions are answered, check, check, not check, not check, or not. I think Ortberg's right. Having faith doesn't mean never having doubts or questions. It does mean remaining obedient. And that's why I love this story about Mary. Because it's got one of those outcomes that we hope to find in a sermon, right? We want there to be some tension, but then we want to have some release at the end where, okay, they got it right. This is what I should do when I read Scripture, you know, or this is what I should do when I'm faced with a challenge like Mary, that I'll get it right. And look, unexpected number four is divine power. This is how it was going to happen, was divine power. The angel said that to her. He said, the Holy Spirit, verse 35, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the one, the Holy One to be born, will be called the Son of God. So what did he say? The Holy Spirit come upon you, the power of the Most High overshadow you. I'm summarizing those by saying divine power. A normal reaction to God saying you're going to have some divine power in your life might be, oh me! I mean, like, huh? What's divine power going to feel like? Am I going to get tingly? I mean, is the hair on the back of my neck going to stand up? I don't know if you've ever had an instance in your life where, you know, you literally felt like the hair on the back of your neck stood up. I've had a few of those, and it was like, whoa, this is not normal. And it's kind of a fear reaction. And there's nothing wrong with that. God made us that way to have that sort of reaction. But when divine power comes on you, you're going to have probably an oh me experience. But look at Mary's answer. As you have said. What did she say there? You know, I love that verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant, she says in the beginning of verse 38. Greek word, doulos, slave. I belong to Him. Anything He says, I will do. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Mary. Can I get an amen? As you have said, it's faith. She's faced with an angel showing up to her. She's faced with the announcement that she's pregnant and she hadn't done anything to get there. She's faced with the reality that she's not pregnant with anybody but God in flesh, the Messiah. And she says, I trust you. I have faith. May it be to me as you have said. Oh, my. Thank you, Mary. Romans 14, 23 tells us that everything that does not come from faith is sin. And Mary certainly leads the way with faith and far away from sin here as she says, may it be to me as you have said. I want to ask you to turn to one scripture. You may know it, but go ahead and turn over. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We need to look at this with our own eyes. I'm not hearing pages. Come on, folks. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 6, does that many of you have electronic versions? I don't hear flips. Chris and I were talking about we need to call the YouVersion folks and tell them when we change pages in our, you know, iPhone or whatever that there'd be a flippy sound. That would be nice. They could program that in there, you know, since a lot of us use electronic scriptures now. Philippians 1:6, if you don't know this, write this down, memorize this. Because since you're breathing air and living life, I can guarantee you at least once in the next month you're going to get challenged and you're going to need this scripture. Shoot, you might get challenged and need this scripture later today. I don't know. I'm not wishing ill on you. I'm just saying when you breathe, when you live, when you have being, stuff's going to come up in your life and you need what you learn in Philippians 1:6. And what does Paul say there? I'm reading NIV. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know what that says? It says you can have faith that whatever God intends to happen in your life will happen in your life. Why? Because He's God. If God says so, it's so. If God says can, it's can. If God says yes, it's yes. If God says no, it's no. It's God. So you can have faith, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You might be in process, just like that beautiful song Karen sang. I don't know if you've ever heard that song before, but ask her the title of it. Go down and listen to it or read the lyrics and think about what it means. It's that time in between. You might be right here and you know God's promised over there and you're going, God, I don't see how we're going to get from A to B. But God knows what it's going to take to get from A to B. God knows the desire of your heart. God knows the need of your life. God knows that you need faith and obedience. And in the time in between, you can be confident in this, that He who began a good work in you to get you from A to B, to make you who He wants you to be, will accomplish it because He's God. Amen. That's why you can have faith. May it be to me as you have said. C.S. Lewis, I love this quote. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. I got to read that one again. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. I can tell you the sun has risen because it's shining right here. See? There it goes. Here's my shadow in the sun. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, the sun, but because by it, the sun, I see everything else. Psalm 105, verse 45 says, all this happened so that they might keep His statutes and obey His instructions. Hallelujah. You got to go back and read Psalm 105 to see what all this is. That's your homework for this afternoon. All right? But all the things that God did was in order that they might keep His statutes and obey His instructions, so that they would have obedience in their faith, so that they would know that God was God and they could follow Him. And what's the psalmist say? Hallelujah. Psalm 105, verse 45, hallelujah. So my question for you is, when does my fear become faith? When does my fear become faith? Fear and faith is kind of it's a chicken and egg sort of thing, and it's faith and humility. I don't know which comes first. Is it humility that leads you to faith, or is it faith that leads you to humility? I don't know, but they work together. Which came first? Humility or faith, which comes first, chicken or the egg, it doesn't necessarily matter. But the fact is that you get there and you repent of your prideful fear. Yes, I said it, fear is prideful. That thinking you can control it and thinking you know the answer and worrying about it. You repent of your prideful fear and you get humble in faith. Or because you're humble, you ask God for faith. James Bryan Smith, in the wonderful book, The Good and Beautiful God, says, we tend to emphasize our faith in Jesus and are not used to thinking about Jesus' faith for us. You'd have to read the book to get the context, but I pulled it out because I want to end us on this positive note. We tend to emphasize our faith in Jesus, but we forget about Jesus' faith in us. You know Jesus knows you. You can talk to Him like you talk to me. You can call on Him and have a relationship with Him that's living, active, and real. But did you know that Jesus, God in the flesh, reigning forever as King, has faith in you? He has faith in you. By God's grace, through God's power, to know that you can become and be and do all that God has intended you to be. So when you are faced with the unexpected, Jesus is right there with you. It dawned on me last week after I finished my sermon that I didn't finish the story about the Sewells and the terrorist attack in the mall in Nairobi, Kenya. And I'm assuming, since I was reading a report from them, that you probably knew that they made it out okay. They did. They did. After some hours, Jamie and the kids were able to get out the back when there was reports on the news that they were getting from text messages that, you know, the military had surrounded the mall and they had isolated all the terrorists and so on. And she knew that it was on that side of the mall and they were on the other side of the mall, and it's a very large mall. So they got out the back. It was hours later still before Chris and their oldest, that they went to find a suit for, could get out of the mall. But Chris and Jamie Sewell, in the midst of an unexpected, horrifying event in their life, going to the mall to buy a suit for their son and eat some lunch, a terrorist attack happens in Nairobi, Kenya, September 21st this year. In the midst of that amazing, unexpected, had faith, and they also had prayers. Because through the wonders of modern technology, they were texting people, and people all around the world were texting them back. And people all around the world were writing messages on Facebook and sending them emails and praying for them just like that. Now, you might not have a cell phone, you might not can text, you might not have friends all around the world, but you do have Jesus. And you do have the God of the whole universe who knows your needs, and in the midst of your unexpected, He's the one thing you can count on. He's the foundation of faith at the bottom of it all. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the story of Mary. That she was a real person with real emotions just like us, and facing something that was absolutely unbelievable, responded in faith. And it's our prayer, God, that as we face things that are trying, that cause fear or anxiety, questions and doubts, that we would respond in faith as well. Because we realize, like Mary, that God, you're in charge and you have a plan for us and it goes beyond our lives, and that we are your servants. And as your servants, your very slaves, that we're bought with a price, but also you're going to take care of us because we belong to you. We're yours. So God, we thank you for that story of Mary, and we pray that it strengthens us and encourages us, not only this Christmas season, but every day of our lives in which we face trials. So, Father, it's our prayer today that if there's anyone here who hasn't trusted Christ as their Savior, that doesn't have that kind of faith that they know will sustain them through any unscripted or unexpected event, that they would trust Christ as their Savior today. It's our prayer that for those of us who do know Christ as our Savior, but are in the midst of struggle with trials and tribulations and questions, and we may be struggling with anxiety or depression or fear, that you would encourage us and strengthen us by faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.